Okay, so welcome back to our pre-Pesach Halacha series. Tonight we're going to be discussing the prohibition of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. So the hakdama, the introduction to this topic, is as follows. The Shulchan Aruch and Orach Chaim in Simin Tav Ayin Aleph Sif Beis, which you have in source number one of your source sheets, and the Ramah there as well, both write that there is a prohibition to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. And what I want to analyze together with you tonight is a number of questions with respect to this prohibition. So the first one is, what is its source? Where does this come from? How do we know that there is such an iser of eating matzah on Erev Pesach? Number two, what is the reasoning for the iser? What's the tama isur? And number three, which is going to take up the bulk of our time, is what are its parameters? And we're going to focus mostly on two questions. First, what type of matzah is included in the iser? And second, at what time the iser begins on Erev Pesach? So that is our agenda for tonight. So let's begin from the source of the prohibition. So whenever this iser of eating matzah on Erev Pesach is discussed, most people reference the Talmud Yerushalmi. There is a Yerushalmi in the 10th parak of Psachim, in the first chapter of that parak, where the Yerushalmi says, it basically makes like a mashal. It compares one who eats matzah on Erev Pesach to one who has relations after engagement, but before marriage. It's Keboel Arusaso Beves Chamiv. And this is something that's quoted by many of the Rishonim, the Rif, Tosos Msachim, Tzadi Tesem Ebeiz, the Rosh Msachim, Paragimel, Simin Zayin. Many of the Rishonim cite this Yerushalmi as the source for the prohibition, that just as an engaged couple is prohibited from being intimate with one another, so too we are not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So we'll have to see, what is that? What exactly is that about? But for now, let's suffice it to say that this Yerushalmi is one potential source for the prohibition. Another potential makor for the prohibition of matzah on Erev Pesach comes from a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah in the twelfth chapter of Sefer Shmos, which we read this past week, says, "Bo erev tochlu matzos," on the night of the 15th, we are commanded to eat matzah. That's what we learned about last week. So the Sefer Rokeach. The Rokeach was Rabbi Elazar of Worms. He lived in the 12th century. He was one of the foremost of the Balei Atosos. I actually saw that his base medrash, where he learned, still stands even today. And apparently it's known as Rashi's base medrash. That's where the Rokeach learned. So the Rokeach derives from this pasuk, Ba'erev tochlu matzos, he infers from this pasuk that matzah is to be eaten only at nighttime, but not the day before. The Torah says, Ba'erev tochlu matzos, which means Ba'erev, and not the day before the Erev, namely the day of the 14th. So the Rokeach learns from that pasuk that there is a prohibition to eat matzah on the day of the 14th. Whether that's really like a biblical commandment, probably not. It's probably an asmachta. But nonetheless, it's still ascribed to a pasuk in the Torah. So these two different sources for the prohibition, on the one hand, the Yerushalmi and the comparison to Bo'al Arusasu Beveis Chamiv, and on the other hand, the pasuk of Bo'erev Tochlu Matzos, they may correlate to two different understandings of why it is that there's a prohibition to eat matzah on the day before Pesach. So the first approach in why it is that there's an iser of achilas matzah on Erev Pesach is the idea of chavivus, the idea of belovedness, of novelty, of enjoyment. The Bahag, the Sefer Halachos Gedolos and Hilchos Pesach, Simen Yud Aleph, explains that the prohibition to eat matzah on Erev Pesach is meant to ensure that when we eat matzah on the night of the 15th, during the Seder, that consumption of matzah will engender a sense of joy and endearment within us. And if we were to eat matzah in advance of the night of the 15th, if we were snacking away on our matzah throughout the day of the 14th, and then we came to the Seder on the night of the 15th, well, then the matzah wouldn't be anything new to us. It wouldn't be something that drew our attention. It wouldn't be something that captured us. However, if we specifically abstain from eating matzah on the day of the 14th, and then we come to the Seder, and we add to the fact, I mean, this is, you know, this is just a joke, but we add that, you know, we're waiting and waiting and waiting through all of Magid, hour after hour, until we finally get to Motzi Matzah and we can have the matzah. So then that will cause a sense of joy within us that will bring out the chavivus of the mitzvah. So says the Bahag. That's why we abstain from eating matzah on the day of the 14th. And I think that approach coheres very well with the Talmud Yerushalmi, which the Bahag actually cites also. Namely, the idea of the Talmud Yerushalmi is that when you're on the precipice, so to speak, of a very enriching experience. So, for example, you have Kiddushin and then Nisuin. Kiddushin is where a couple is engaged, and Nisuin is where the couple is married. So when they're engaged, they're on the precipice of the experience of Nisuin, where they will be able to fully experience the life of marriage together. So if that Nisuin is to be something that is new and endearing to the couple, then the couple needs to abstain from that type of lifestyle in advance of the Nisuin. So says the Yerushalmi, that just as a couple abstains from having intimacy before the Nisuin, why? So that the Nisuin comes with its full force, with its full power of a marriage life and a marriage experience. So too says the Bahag, before we eat matzah on the night of the Seder, if we really want to be able to tap into the chavivos of the mitzvah, so then we have to abstain from eating the matzah in advance on the day of the 14th. So says the Bahag. When we turn to the Rambam, in Perek Vav Halacha Yud Beis of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the Rambam gives us a little bit of a different sense, a little bit of a different approach as to why it is that we abstain from eating matzah on Erev Pesach. Take a look at source number 6 on your source sheet, if you have it in front of you. The Rambam writes as follows. Asru chachomim lechol matzah be'erev ha-Pesach. Chazal forbade us from eating matzah on Erev Pesach. Why? Kedei sheyihia heker la'achilosa bo'erev. So that the consumption of matzah on the night of the 15th has a heker, is distinct, so that it's unique. The Rambam is saying that when we eat matzah on the night of the 15th, we want it to be something that's singular, something that's not replicated, and it stands on its own. It's distinguished. So if we were to eat matzah on the day of the 14th, on Erev Pesach, then that would generate a little bit of confusion as to whether when we eat the matzah at the Seder, are we doing it for the mitzvah of matzah? Is this something that's really, truly singular, that's unique, that's distinct? Well, wait a minute. I mean, you know, 6 hours earlier, you were chomping away on your matzah. So how can you really say that the matzah that you're having on the night of the 15th at the Seder is truly unique? So the Rambam says that you have to abstain from eating the matzah in advance in order to give this quality of uniqueness and distinctiveness to the matzah that you eat at the Seder. For the Rambam, it's not so much about the psychological experience of the person eating the matzah, namely that he or she will feel a sense of endearment and joy when they partake of the matzah because they haven't partaken of it in so long. For the Rambam, it's more that the mitzvah and the matzah itself as a chefza, as an object, as, you know, a symbol, is something that's unique and distinct and totally separated from anything else, you know, in its larger context. So we have this debate between the Bahag and the Rambam, whether the approach to the reasoning for the Isser is a din in chavivus, in belovedness of the mitzvah, or a heker, creating uniqueness and distinctiveness around the mitzvah. And by the way, I forgot to say, but the Rambam's approach to the mitzvah, I think, coheres very nicely with the second source for the mitzvah. Remember, we quoted the Rokeach, who said that Bo'erev Tochlu Matzos is the source for the prohibition to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Why? Because you have to do it at nighttime. At night, and not during the day before. Meaning that that night is a unique night on the calendar. And we should make sure that the day in advance of it doesn't look the same way as the night does. So if the night is going to have the matzah, it should look different from the day before, and the day before shouldn't have the matzah. That might be the approach of the Rambam when he says, Kadeshi ye heker la achilasa bo'erev. So is this machlokas between the Rishonim, Chavivus, the Bahag, versus Heker, the Rambam. Let's now see how these approaches play out in terms of the parameters of the prohibition of eating matzah on Erev Pesach, and what that's going to mean for us, halacha lemaisa, tavshin pei beis, coming up towards Erev Pesach next Friday, be'ezus Hashem. So let's begin with the following question. To what types of matzah does this prohibition apply? We're going to learn in just a few moments that there are a lot of different types of matzah that we could think about. So the background to this is the Mishnah in Pesachim Tzadites Amid Beis, the first Mishnah in Perek Arvei Pesachim. The Mishnah tells us that one is not allowed to eat from Samuch Lemincha and onward on Erev Pesach, from the 10th halachic hour and onward, one is not allowed to have an abundance of food. They shouldn't consume bread products, mine targima, fruits and vegetables, that would be fine, but even those, one shouldn't have too much of them, because it's very important that we maintain an appetite for the Seder that is going to be that night. So says the Mishnah, from the 10th halachic hour and on, one is not allowed to eat. Tosfos there is bothered by a question. Tosfos asks, what food is the Mishnah coming to prohibit? And this is kind of like a process of elimination type of game that Tosfos is playing. So if you'll tell me that the Mishnah is coming to prohibit chametz, bread products, well, that can't be, because we're already not allowed to eat chametz from when? From chatzos, already from the 7th halachic hour of the day, from 6 hours and on. So I don't need the Mishnah to tell me from the 10th hour and on, because I'm already not allowed to eat chametz even earlier on in the day. So the Mishnah can't be talking about chametz. And if you want to tell me that the Mishnah is talking about mine targima, fruits and vegetables, that also the Mishnah can't be talking about. Why not? Because I'm allowed to eat mine targima. I'm allowed to eat those things. So what is the... And if you want to tell me that the Mishnah is talking about matzah, that I shouldn't have matzah from the 10th hour and on, well, that's also can't be the case. We can cross that option off. Why? Because the Yerushalmi told us that we're not allowed to have matzah throughout the day. Not just from the 10th hour and on. I'm not allowed to have matzah the whole day. So what is the Mishnah coming to include? Seems like everything was already included in this rubric. Says Tosfos, the Mishnah must be referring to matzah ashira, to matzah that was kneaded with fruit juice, what's colloquially known as egg matzos. And what the Mishnah is trying to say is that even though you're allowed to have matzah ashira on Erev Pesach, you can only have it up until the 10th halachic hour. That's Tosfos. So what comes out of the analysis of Tosfos? What emerges from Tosfos' comment is that even though there is a prohibition to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, that prohibition does not include matzah ashira. Matzah that's kneaded with fruit juices is not going to be included in the prohibition to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So why is it that this is an exception to the rule? So there are two different approaches that the Rishonim and Achronim take to explain why it is that matzah ashira is an exception to the rule. And these two approaches are going to be very key for our understanding of the halacha lemaisa. So the Meiri in Psachim Tzadi Tesamid Beis makes it very clear that the reason why matzah ashira is an exception to the rule and is fundamentally allowed to be eaten on Erev Pesach, and it's just that you can't eat it from the 10th hour and on, is because matzah ashira can't be used for the mitzvah of matzah. So at the Seder, like we discussed last week, we have a mitzvah to eat matzah. It's a biblical mitzvah. But Erev Tochlu Matzos. What type of matzah qualifies for the mitzvah? So the type of matzah that qualifies is matzah that's made from flour and water. Zehu. That's it. If it's made from fruit juice, says the Meiri, that's not going to qualify for the mitzvah. So since it can't be used for the mitzvah, therefore it's not included in the prohibition on Erev Pesach. So the Meiri is laying down for us a fundamental principle. He's saying that this whole prohibition that we're discussing tonight about not eating matzah on Erev Pesach, you know what type of matzah it applies to? Only the type of matzah that you can use at your Seder to fulfill the mitzvah. If you have matzah before you and you can't use it to fulfill your mitzvah for whatever reason, then you can have it on Erev Pesach. So says the Meiri. The only type of matzah you can't have on Erev Pesach is the type of matzah that could be used to fulfill the mitzvah on the night of the Seder. The Maharsha takes a totally different approach as to why it is that matzah ashira is excluded from the Isser of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. He says there's a difference between matzah ashira and regular matzah. And it's not just that matzah ashira can't be used for the mitzvah. You know what the difference is? Egg matzah tastes totally different from regular matzah. Matzah that's kneaded with fruit juice doesn't have the same taste, doesn't have the same ta'am as regular matzah. So says the Maharsha, the whole prohibition of eating matzah on Erev Pesach applies to matzah that has the same taste as the matzah that you're going to use at the Seder. But if it has a different taste, like matzah ashira, then you could eat it on Erev Pesach. So let's recap exactly this machlokas, what is going on here between the Maharsha and the Meiri. What types of matzah are included in this iser to eat on Erev Pesach? According to the Maharsha, it's anything that has the same taste as the matzah that you're going to eat that night at the Seder. Whereas according to the Meiri, and we should note also according to the Rambam, as interpreted by some of the Mefarshim, like Rabbeinu Manoach, it's anything that could, any matzah that could be used for the mitzvah of matzah. Now, this debate between the Maharsha and the Meiri has some very, very important halachic nafkaminas. So take the following for example, okay? There is such a thing called bitsekos shel goyim, which means doughs that were kneaded by non-Jews. The Gemara in Psachim, Daf Lamed Ches, Amid Beis, says that matzah, in order to fulfill your mitzvah, the matzah that you use needs to be mishtameres l'shem matzah. Needs to be guarded lishma, for the purpose of the mitzvah of matzah. And therefore, non-Jews cannot bake our matzos. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, Simin Tov Samech, the Shulchan Aruch points out that matzos cannot be baked. Matzos that are used for our mitzvah cannot be baked by non-Jews because of this reason. So if I asked you, if a non-Jew bakes a matzah, is it going to have the same taste as the matzah that's baked by a Jew? For sure. It's the same thing. It's just baked by someone else. However, can it be used for your mitzvah? No, because it has to have lishma, and the non-Jew cannot achieve lishma. So now watch this. This is going to be the machlokas between the Maharsha and the Meiri, or the Rambam. According to the Maharsha, are you allowed to eat matzos that were baked by non-Jews on Erev Pesach? So the answer is no. Why? Because according to the Maharsha, any matzah that has the same taste as the matzah that you're going to use at the Seder is forbidden to eat on Erev Pesach. Since matzah that's baked by a non-Jew does have the same taste, therefore you cannot eat it on Erev Pesach. So says the Maharsha. However, says Rabbeinu Manoach in explanation of the Rambam, according to the Rambam, if you have matzah that's baked by a non-Jew, you could eat it on Erev Pesach. Why? Because it can't be used for the mitzvah. And for the Rambam, the whole prohibition is not eating matzah that could also be used for the mitzvah at the Seder. Ah! So this is a big machlokas with nafkaminas. According to the Maharsha, it's all about the taste. According to the Rambam and the Meiri, it's all about whether the matzah in front of you can be used for the mitzvah that night. So how are we going to paskin on this issue? Which of the reasons are we going to accept? So if you take a look at the Ramah in Simin, Tof Ayin Aleph, Siv Beis, and the Mishnah Berurah there, it seems that we accept the reasoning of the Rambam. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the reasoning of the Rambam that the whole Tam Ha'iser, the reason to not have matzah on Erev Pesach, is to make the matzah, the mitzvah of matzah, unique. And therefore, the reason why we are allowed to have matzah ashira is because matzah ashira can't be used for the mitzvah. And seemingly anything that couldn't be used for the mitzvah of matzah should be allowed to, we should be allowed to have on Erev Pesach. However, anything that couldn't be used for the mitzvah of matzah we should be allowed to have on Erev Pesach. So, according to that line of reasoning, it seems like we should be allowed to have a matzah that was baked by non-Jews. I would point out that Ratzvi Pesach Frank in his Mikrai Kodesh, Simin Chav Hei, is a little bit wary of relying on this line of reasoning. He's concerned for the other approach, namely the approach that we shouldn't have any matzah that has the same taste as the matzah that we're going to have at night. And therefore, Ratzvi Pesach Frank cautions that we should be wary also not to have matzah that's baked by non-Jews. What about, this is very lemaisa. This is a question I think a lot of people deal with every year. What about cooked matzah? So when do we cook matzah? So think about if you're making like knedelach, matzah balls. So you take matzah meal and you cook it in water, right? Are you allowed to taste the matzah balls on Erev Pesach? I feel like this is probably a question that people think about if they're aware of this halacha. So this is going to revolve around the same question. Do we follow the ta'am? Is it about ta'am? Is it about taste? Or is it about what can you use for your mitzvah at night? So Rab Shlomo Kluger was of the opinion, this is in Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo or Achaim Nisim in Shin Chav Beis, he was of the opinion that we follow the taste. And he thinks that cooked matzah has a similar enough taste to baked matzah. And therefore, according to that line of reasoning, we should not have cooked matzah on Erev Pesach. And I would tell you, according to Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, we shouldn't eat any matzah balls on Erev Pesach. However, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah in Tuf Ayin Aleph Sif Chaf, the Mishnah Berurah says that it's perfectly permitted to eat knedelach on Erev Pesach. And he actually uses that word. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he writes out knedelach. So that's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah says. Why is that? Well, that's the Mishnah Berurah l'shitaso. It's consistent with his approach. The Mishnah Berurah was saying that the whole prohibition was to have matzah on Erev Pesach that you could use at night during the Seder to fulfill your mitzvah. Are you allowed to use cooked matzah to fulfill your mitzvah? Of course not. The matzah has to be baked, can't be cooked. So if it's cooked, You can't use it to fulfill your mitzvah. Once you can't use it to fulfill your mitzvah, then you could eat it on Erev Pesach. So says the Mishnah Brura. However, we should qualify that if there are certain matzah meal products that are not cooked, but rather baked, like I know in many families, in our family, we have like a Pesach bagel recipe that, you know, you have matzah meal and you mix eggs into it and put whatever other ingredients in, and then you bake it in the oven. So it's not cooked, it's baked. So if it's baked, then the postgame, Rav Al-Yashay, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Vosner, and Shevet HaLevi, they all say that one should not eat baked matzah meal products on Erev Pesach, because that would be a problem of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. Now, this whole debate between the Rishonim as to whether we follow the taste or whether we follow the type of matzah it is, namely, is it the type of matzah that can be used for your mitzvah, that really goes back to the Iker Machlokas, to the debate about what the prohibition is all about. If the Iser is about Chavivus, meaning that we want to ensure that we're going to have a sense of joy and excitement around the mitzvah of matzah, so then it would make sense that we shouldn't have anything that tastes like matzah. Because what triggers within us that psychological experience of enjoyment, of endearment towards the matzah? What triggers that experience? The taste. That's how we connect to the belovedness of the matzah. So according to that approach, that the Iser is to maintain the chavivos of matzah, it should apply to anything that has the same taste as matzah. According to the Rambam, that the Iser is not so much about the chavivos of the matzah, but rather about the uniqueness and the distinctiveness of the matzah, so then the Iser should apply to anything that could be used for the mitzvah. Because what are we really trying to do? We're trying to distinguish the matzah that we eat in the context of the mitzvah. That's what we're trying to distinguish. So the only things that could become confused together with that are other matzos that could be used for the mitzvah. If it can't be used for the mitzvah, then it's not going to cause confusion because they're not in the same category. So therefore, says the Rambam, according to Rabbeinu Manoach, any matzah that you couldn't use for the mitzvah would not be included in the prohibition to eat on Erev Pesach. And that's what we saw. That's why dough that's kneaded by goyim or cooked matzah, according to the Rambam, would be totally fine. And we noted that halach lemaisa, according to the Mishnah Brura, cooked matzah would be permitted. I would note, just as an aside, that in one other place, the Mishnah Brura in Shairat Siyun, Tav Mem Dalid, Sif Aleph, quotes the opinion of the Gra. And the Vilna Gaon was very machmir on this question. The Gra thought that according to the Rambam, even cooked matzah could not be eaten on Erev Pesach. So that's a chumrah, because we thought that for the Rambam, anything that couldn't be used for the mitzvah was what you couldn't eat. And certainly cooked matzah you can't use for the mitzvah. But the Gra thinks that nonetheless the Rambam would prohibit cooked matzah. I thought that maybe the reason why was because according to the Gra, the Rambam is prohibiting anything that has the formal status of matzah, like the food matzah, and not necessarily matzah shel mitzvah, a matzah that could be used for the mitzvah. Rather, for the Gra, it's anything that has the status of being the food of matzah. So I think Me'ikar Hadin, though, the Mishnah Brura paskins, like we said earlier, that cooked matzah you could have on Erev Pesach, matzah balls you could taste. If you want to be machmir like the Gra, so there's makom lahachmir, if you don't need to taste your matzah balls. Okay. Wow. Okay, we ran out of time. We were going to discuss when the Iser kicks in. I'll just tell you a regal achas that we paskin, Allah HaLamaisa, that the Iser of eating matzah on Erev Pesach kicks in from the very beginning of the day. And there are some deos that expand that even beyond, maybe even to include the night before, says the Magen Avraham. And perhaps some of us have heard of a minhag not to eat matzah, either maybe from Rosh Chodesh Nisan or even Shloshim Yom before Nisan. Those are really alpi minhag or chumrah. Those are not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch as halacha. But the halacha certainly is that one may not eat matzah from the very beginning of the day of Erev Pesach. And another time we can discuss more how that relates to what we discussed throughout the night tonight. So just to wrap up, as we always do, with a little bit of machshava. So as we've seen, the prohibition of matzah on Erev Pesach really accentuates both the beloved nature and the unique nature of the matzah at the Seder and the night of the 15th, I think, in general. We know that Leil HaSeder is called Leil Shimurim, which suggests that it's something that's guarded, it's unique, it's special. And it's a night on which we establish a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a night that can't be imitated or replicated like any other night of the year. And by abstaining from matzah on Erev Pesach, that's exactly what we do. We accomplish something very positive and constructive. It's not just an abstention. It's not just not eating the matzah. By not eating the matzah on Erev Pesach, we're really declaring something. We're accomplishing something. We're expressing our understanding that that night that we're about to experience in just a few hours is truly a unique and dear experience to us. And it's a singular opportunity to really deepen and enrich our relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to entrench and instill within us and within all of our future generations emuna in the Borei Olam. I wish you all a great rest of the week.